Neshechachma for Parshas Chukas. Let's first open up the Chumash to Bamidbar Perek Chof. And we have the famous or infamous Mei Meriva. Vayavo B'nei Yisrael Kol Aida Midbar Tzim, etc. Miriam dies. Lohoya Shamayim, Lohoya Mayim La Aida. And there's a riv, Vayorev Va'amim Moshe, etc., etc. And then we have Pasuk Zayin. Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe Limor, Kach es Hamate, Vakhel es Haida, Atovi Aron Achicho, Vidibartem el Asela Le'enehem, V'nasan Meimov. Vayorem Moshe Yodo Vayaches Hasela Vimateu Pamoim Vayetu Maim Rabim Vatesh Taido Uvi Iram. So the Tzivui is in Pasuk Ches, and the fulfillment, the implementation, is in Pasuk Yud Aleph. The Meshech Chachma wants to compare Pasuk Ches to Pasuk Yud Aleph, and he finds two discrepancies. In Pasuk Ches, the Tzivui, it says Vautzeis Olehem Mayim. It doesn't say, if we compare it to Pasuk Yud Aleph, in what we call in Hebrew the Bitsua, the implementation, Vayetzu Mayim Rabim. So the word Rabim appears in the Bitsua, but not in the original Tzivui. And the second discrepancy is in the Tzivui, in Pasuk Ches, it says, Vishkisa es ha'eda ve'es bi'iram. Emphasize that extra word ve'es. Whereas in Pasuk Yud Aleph, in the Bitsua, it says, Vatesh ta'eda u bi'iram. So the ve'es turns into u bi'iram. Da, ki habracha asher hi bechefetz Hashem ubesever panim yafos, when Hashem bestows a bracha on the people, and that's his desire to do so, and he does so with a happy countenance. Hi eina mehulola bekamusa rak be'echusa. Quoting the famous distinction between echus and kamus, between quantity and quality, the bracha is not in quantity, but in quality. It's not kamus, but it's echus. So, for example, if I want to bestow a bracha on you, I can do it in one of two ways. I could say, I'm going to give you a massive volume of whatever. Let's say if it's a child, I'm going to give him like bags full of candies, or as the British call them, sweeties, right? Or I can give him a small amount, but there's something very special about it, and he feels very happy and satiated by the small amount that I give him. And Rabbi Meir Simcha says that when we talk about a bracha directly from the hand of Hashem, Hashem says, you know what, to give you kamus and vast volume, that's not the divine way of doing things. When you talk about, especially food stuff, mass volumes, you know, it's sort of gluttonous. You're going to have to eat so much, drink so much. Instead, the divine blessing and the miracle therein is to give a limited quantity. It's not volumes, but it satiates. It's much more what we call in Yiddish edel. Edel means, you know, it's refined. You don't have to eat so much. You can enjoy it and feel fulfilled with a smaller amount. Ki zeh ha'inyan yoser nisgav. It's more lofty, v'yoser na'a, and more beautiful, asher when it's b'ma'at ha'mazon, yuspa re'ovono. With a small volume of food, he already feels satiated. And the same with regard to beverage with drinks. B'ma'at ha'shsia yushbar tzimo. He's thirsty, he wants to drink. You give him a small amount, and he feels you've quieted down all his desire, his thirst. That's the bracha from Hashem. And he proves this from a pasuk in Vayikra, which Rashi expands upon. Hivtiach b'berchosav, Hashem in Parshas B'chukosa, he gives us the bracha of achaltem lachmechem lesova. You'll eat your bread and be satiated. Says Rashi, ye ochel kima, you eat a small volume of bread, umisbarech b'meyav, and yet he feels satiated. Lachain amru zal. Okay, we're not sure exactly where this is coming from. Lo niskara daitem shel Yisrael at sheshamu v'achaltem lachmechem lesova. They were so thrilled when they heard this blessing that im b'chukosei teilechu v'achaltem lachmechem lesova. Rashi says ochel kima, he eats a small amount and yet he feels satiated. You don't have to get fat. You can feel absolutely satiated with a small amount. V'zeh inyan niskav. This is lofty. This is more spiritual. And this reflects on the bracha of Hashem. B'ma'at ha'mazon yaspik l'nafsho. On a physical level, you would expect and anticipate that he has to eat much more, but nafsho, he feels his soul kicks in over here. V'im yochal ha'odam mazon ha'yotzei mi'yodo shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he realizes that with this small volume of food he feels satiated, then he realizes that this is coming directly from the hand of God. And osher nafshi u'mazon ruchni, his nefesh feels fortunate and he has spiritual food. And therefore, Rav Meir Simcha is going to compare this to the man. That's the paramount example of spiritual food. Kasher efliu chazal b'man. And chazal say that man is called lechem abirim. You know, the food of the mighty. It's referring to the malachim. V'lechol echad hu lefi shleimuso. And every person who received man, it was, in a sense, reflective of his spiritual level. As the Gemara tells us at the end of Yoma, L'tzadikim yard al pesach pateim, beidinim yotzu v'loktu, rishoyim shotu v'loktu, tzadikim lechem, beidinim ugos, rishoyim tochnu v'rechayim. The higher the spiritual level, the more sensitive was the gift, and it was more spiritual in nature, not so much gluttony, but echus. It was a Yad Hashem, you felt the blessing from Hashem. And now, based on this, Rav Meir Simcha is going to answer his questions about the discrepancy between the original Tzivui and the Bitzua, as we said before. And he says the following. In the original plan, when Hashem gave the command to Moshe, assuming that the Jewish people would live up to this challenge and rely on Hashem that he would provide for them, v'ilu lo shinu mamar Hashem v'yosu kfi mitzvaso, if not for their terrible murmurings, haya bracha b'me'ayim b'echus v'lo b'kamas, the bracha would have been that a small amount would satiate them, just like in the man. Hamar b'lo hedif me Omer. It was Omer like Gulgolis. Everybody got the same amount and was satiated. That was the greatness of the man. Voyamaspik, and that would have been enough. Ushtiyosam, when they drank, Hoyagamkain, Inyan Nafshi, Asher Bazeh, Nivdulu Min Shtiyas Habeima. Oh, here's where we see the difference between man as a spiritual being and the animal kingdom. The animal kingdom, it's always going to be kamos. How much can you feed the animal? How much drink can you provide for the animal? But when it comes to the nefesh, ha'adam, on an upgraded level, then we have this idea of giving less bekamos, but more be'echus. So when it comes to the animal, you know, it's just fill up the belly. So this was the original plan. And the Pasuk therefore indicates Mayim. It doesn't say anything about Mayim Rabin. The Pasuk says, V'es Be'iram, separating them from the animals. Ulam, however, Kasher lo niskadei shmo yisbarach, when the people rebelled and there was no Kiddush Hashem, then the bracha was bekamus and not be'echus. It's a choice. If you're on a spiritual level, the sanctity of Kiddush Hashem, then you have a relationship in which the echus goes up and the kamus goes down. But if on the other hand, there's no sanctification, then the converse is that the kamus has to go up and the echus goes down. And therefore, says Remer Simcha, now it says, there's not much difference between the human drinking and the animal drinking. And therefore, the Pasuk says, it doesn't say anything about Mayim Rabin, the original Tzivui. And then, Vishkisa Sa'eda, the Es Be'iram, Es is a Mafsik. There's you, the people, and there's Be'iram, the animals. Sheshtiyosem tiyad nivdeles mishtiyas ha-behema. This is a spiritual kind of drinking. The animal just fill up his belly. Ulam, however, unfortunately, kashalo asu kefitzi vuyav az, then the Pasuk says here, our Pasuk Yudalev, vayetzu mayim rabim, it had to be great in echus, I'm sorry, great in kamus, rabim, Vateshta Eda Ubeiram. There's no Es Hamafsik anymore. Shneim Shovim Bishtiyasa Habracha Eina Ella Bekamus. As usual, and you've heard this comment to me until it's probably coming out of your ears, but just the diukim, you know, the meticulous reading of the words of the Torah, and to find an innuendo here, a difference which you could read this 1,000 times and miss the both. It's an amazing, amazing theory. Again, it gives us a whole insight into all the parashios of bracha, where according to Meir Simcha, the thesis is that it's going to be great in echus and limited in kamus. You don't have to be gluttonous. You don't have to fill up your belly. It's a bracha miyad Hashem, and he quotes a chazal that lonis kara daitam, which bracha did they receive in Bechukosai that gave them that sense of this is beautiful, God's hand? It was the bracha ve'achaltem lachmechem lissova. And you don't have to eat that much lechem, just like in the man, you didn't have to eat kamios of man. And the original plan was mayim, not mayim rabim. And so counterintuitive, because if you see these two psukim and you notice that here it says mayim and here it says mayim rabim, you would have come to the exact opposite conclusion. Which is greater, mayim or mayim rabim? You know, intuitively, a knee-jerk response would have been that mayim rabim is a lot greater than mayim. Comes with Meir Simcha, he says just the opposite. When there's Kiddush Hashem and there's Bracha Meis Yad Hashem, then you don't need mayim rabim. You just have to supply the nefesh with her needs. And the nefesh needs just plain mayim, that's be'echus miyad Hashem. Having said that, now we get to the main point of our get-together for today. What was the sin of Moshe and Aaron of the Meh Meriva? there are so many different theories, and the Ramban himself in his commentary has 5 different shitot and different approaches. The Rambam in his Pirush HaMishnayos has a different approach, and in this particular presentation, Rav Meir Simcha is interested in the approach of Rav Yosef Alba, who is a Spanish Rishon, I mean at the end of the period of the Rishonim, and he wrote on Jewish philosophy. Very often Rav Alba in his writings, especially in what's called the Sefer HaIkrim, so we're talking about 6 centuries ago, right, in the, let's say in the 1500s, no, even earlier, in the 1400s, he writes a book about the basic Ikrim of the Torah. He takes the Rambam's 13 Ikrim and he reduces them to 3 Ikrim, and somewhere in between his writings of philosophy, he introduces interpretations of psukim in Chumash. It's not a pirush al Torah, it's not a commentary per se in the formal sense, but here, there, and elsewhere, he fits in. Like, for example, when he writes about the 3 ikrim, he reduces that, as I said, to 3. One is the belief in God, the other is belief that the Torah was given from Hashem, transmitted by Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. And finally, the belief in God's divine reward and punishment, Schar V'Onesh. And when he talks about Schar V'Onesh, he talks about the Onesh to Moshe Rabbeinu in our parsha at the Chet of the Mei Meriva. And he writes the following, Ki achet b'mei Meriva hu al shalo kidesh Moshe shmo, that Moshe failed to sanctify the name of God. Ki kashara ki ha'am tzame mayim. Moshe Rabbeinu was well aware, he had his finger on the pulse, that the people were thirsty. Hayaroy le'ish kazeh, it was appropriate for Moshe on his level. Again, he's implying, as all of you have shown him, imply that this chet of Meid Meraglim is only relative to Moshe Rabbeinu. For you and I, it wouldn't have been a sin at all. But anyway, on Moshe's level, Hayaroy lekadishmo, what would have been the option for Moshe Rabbeinu to sanctify the name of God? Listen carefully, because this is the chiddush of Rav Albo. Velasos me atzmo lahotzi mayim me'asela. Let's try to understand those words, if you happen to have Meir Simcha in front of you, please underline those words. Lasos me atzmo lahotzi mayim misela. There are 2 ways in which a prophet can bring about a miracle. One way is when the prophet takes the initiative. We'll see, for example, Eliyahu Bar Carmel, we'll see it in Shmuel HaNavi, many different Nevi'im, they take the initiative. And they, in a sense, if you can use the word challenge, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bring about this miracle. There's another way in which the Navi waits for the miracle to happen and plays a passive role. Says Rav Albo, Moshe Rabbeinu at this juncture, knowing full well that the people were thirsty, he should have taken the initiative and commanded the miracle, so to speak. Of course, the miracle comes from Hashem, but he should have said, the following is going to happen. The stones are going to produce water. Hashem yaser etzon tzadik, and God would have complied with Moshe's declaration, the Atzas Avod of Yashlim, and he would have fulfilled the guidance, the wisdom, the advice of Moshe Rabbeinu to make this miracle so that the people would see the water coming out of the stone. Ad Kan Rav Yosef Alba. The words are very short, abridged. He doesn't embellish them. And Rav Meir Simcha took it upon himself, I think probably because he was very curious. He thought that Rav Albo was touching on a brand new perspective of what was the chait of Moshe Rabbeinu. And it all boils down to one question. Should Moshe Rabbeinu have taken the initiative on his own to bring about this miracle? Or should he have waited for God? And for some unknown reason, according to Rav Albo, it would have been a greater Kiddush Hashem if Moshe would have taken the initiative. And instead, he waited passively for Hashem to give him the mandate, the directive to bring about this miracle. What's it all about? So again, as I said, Rav Yosef Albo is very cryptic, very, very limited, abridged, and Rav Meir Simcha wants to develop an entire thesis based on this one line in Rav Albo that the Chait Mei Meriva, and he's going to reveal something about, in general, about miracles and about prophets. He says that Kfar Dibru Chachamim, he says many Chachamim have written about this parasha of Mei Meriva, V'sifreyim Ein Iti, which literally means he doesn't have access to their works. Maybe his library was a limited library, I don't know. I have a sense that when he says N-E-T, it's not with me, he might be implying that he's not happy with what they wrote. I don't know. Ubi emes royalis bonen. Let's take an opportunity to think about this. Ki lo matzanu le Moshe sheyaseh dover ve'inyan b'li tzivei Hashem kodem. Moshe does not take the initiative, and this is a methodology, this is a system in Moshe Rabbeinu. You can check me out, says Rav Meir Simcha. The career of Moshe Rabbeinu is a passive career, not an active career. Moshe Rabbeinu does not take the initiative. He waits for the tzivu. Now again, you know, just as a footnote, there are a number of occasions where Moshe takes the initiative. Moshe broke the luchos, and Moshe added a day of prisha. But he's talking about Nisim. When it comes to bringing about miracles, Moshe doesn't ask Hashem to bring about miracles. He gives a number of examples. Man, Slav, Be'er, Kriyas Yamsuf. It's always Moshe waiting passively for Hashem to bring about the miracle. Moshe is a Shliach Hashem, but the initiative comes from Almighty God. Masha Matziru, here the word ma means Masha Ein Kein. Masha Matziru v'shar Nevi'im sha'asu me'atzmam v'Hashem heikim es divrayim. In the case of all other Nevi'im, the greatest prophets in Tanakh, the reverse is true. The Navi takes the original initiative, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu fulfills the declaration and the miracle. He gives an example of Yoshua. Yoshua declares Shemesh B'Givon Dom. He has the sun hanging in the Shamayim. And the Pasuk says, V'lo hoyaba yoma hu lefonov li'achrav l'shmo Hashem b'kol ish, that God listens to the voice of man. It was never such. Never will be. That God will determine that the sun will remain in the sky. V'chein b'elyo. We find something similar, Eliyahu Barak Carmel. He says that the Eish is going to come down from Shemayim. You know, he pours the water over the Karman, and he says, watch what's going to happen. Totally Eliyahu's initiative. Shmuel ben Matar, a famous story in Shmuel. And now, Zulas. So we're up to a word, this is the, you know, the critical turning point in Rav Meir Simcha's presentation, Zulas. You know, Zulas is what we would say, but, you know, there's one exception. Every rule has to have an exception. There's one miracle that Moshe Rabbeinu takes the initiative and Hashem complies with his will. And that's last week's parsha. Or in Chutzlar, it's this week's parsha. And that's Korach. And Moshe Rabbeinu declares that if I'm the chosen one, then the earth, excuse me, is going to open its mouth, and you and your people will be swallowed up. Because if I'm not the chosen one, then you'll die the normal death of any human being. And this brings about a miracle of God. Valo Dover. Let's try to analyze why in this case of Korach does Moshe all of a sudden stand out from the shadows and demand, so to speak, a miracle of God, Moshe playing the active initiative role. And if, says Rabbi Simcha, we can understand why that's the exception to the rule, and Moshe should have taken the initiative to bring about the miracle, which he did in the case of Korach, then we can understand Rabbi Yosef Albo's claim that here in the thirst of Bnei Yisrael, once again, Moshe Rabbeinu should have taken the initiative to bring about the miracle. Vanira Bazeh, Ki Navi Acher, any other Navi other than Moshe, Shasagoso Enabas Baklaria Meiri, Nuvuzoso Hu Kimishtagea, I'll explain this as we go along. Shu Mufshad Hachomer Umishulal Achushim Ubazelo Ayin Bi Ayin Nire, etc. He says with regard to every other Navi, with the exception of Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not a clear vision. It's got to be when the Navi is asleep, kimishtageya, his body and his whole psyche is completely upset, you know, it's not functioning properly when he has this nevuah, and he has to completely cut himself off from his body, from his normal sensual perceptions. But bazeh, in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, it's ayin bi ayin nira. He sees God, and it's a different kind of experience. It's nishar b'chushav. Moshe Rabbeinu is still physical with his sensual senses, five senses. Medaber kodem mechavero, he speaks to God like you would speak to your friend. Pe'el pe'adaber bo. And that's Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu's level of prophecy is qualitatively different than that of all the other Nevi'im. My Rebbe used to always say that that was the chet of Miriam. That Miriam mistakenly equated Moshe with other Nevi'im. She didn't realize that Moshe was on a whole different level, a whole different type of Nevuah. And that's where these psukim testify about Moshe Rabbeinu. In fact, the Rambam, in his Yud Gimel Ikrim, he has one of the Ikrim is about Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu. He's got one Ikar about Nevuah, prophecy in general, and another one of his Ikrim, a tenet of the faith, is Moshe's Nevuah as a separate entity. And now I would ask, Defar is Vos, you know, therefore, so what? Says Rabbi Simcha, Ilu Hayu Osekein, if Moshe Rabbeinu would take the initiative and he would declare a miracle and it would happen, Oz Yomru Olav Ki Hubi Etzem Koach HaMashpia U'Mishadet HaTeva, the people would not know that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who stepped in to change the natural order. They think Moshe declared the miracle and it happened because Moshe has within him inherently those powers to control nature. They are so, and they'll make him into Elokei Liavdo, as if he is a god, he has divine powers, and he can control nature. Now, if you were with me in Parsha Shlach 2 weeks ago, when we studied Rabbi Simcha about Kalev, you may remember that Kalev had to tell the people, because they had heard of the Nevuah of Eldad Umeda, that Moshe Mace, V'eino nichnas la'aretz, they got all upset, and when the Meraglim came back and said, there's no way we can conquer the land, they broke out in total despair because they thought without Moshe, there's no way that we can defeat these nations. And Kalev had to give them a whole presentation there that Moshe is only a shliach of Hashem. It's not that he changes nature. Lachen, Mipneisha Hayakal Litos, since it was a very vulnerable point here and a very easy mistake, Lahamir Kvodo Bekel Shaddai, in other words, to switch the cover of Moshe for the cover of Hashem, therefore Lo Osa Shum Nesu Pela Miatzma. Moshe consistently, and we gave the list before, plays the passive role. Hashem, he's not going to bring about a miracle unless first he gets the mandate from Hashem.
Achrei Sivlo Tlunos Rigoshos Bnei Yisrael Sheyedun Kol Yisrael Kihu Ish Moshe.
The point is that any occasion in which Moshe Rabbeinu hears the complaints and the suffering of the Jewish people in the Midbar, he's going to play a passive role so that the people realize that it's only Ish Moshe. Moshe is only an Ish. He's a human being.
Ve'ose b'briyoso kifi chevetz chachmoso
levad b'dvar Korach. At the episode of Korach, Moshe sensed this is an exception to the rule. Why? In all the other rebellions and murmurs of Klal Yisrael, it was never against Moshe himself. They were always complaining about the physical, harsh desert and the conditions that they were in. But here, Korach gets up and says, Ki kola eda kulam kidoshim, ke'am ke'kohen, ke'katan ke'gadol, ve'chishu malas Moshe. Here's just the opposite. They are attacking Moshe Rabbeinu. Who are you, Moshe Rabbeinu? Why are you holier than anyone else? V'chashdu b'dvarim p'chusim. And they thought that he was a low person who didn't deserve to be elevated as the leader of the people. Hitilu sfeikos, ki osa kol achaluka b'kuna v'levia milibo. They began to suspect that the entire structure, that he would be the leader, and Aaron would be the Kohen Gadol, and this Kohen would get this job, and this branch that. It's all Moshe Rabbeinu's own invention. He's operating on his own.
Oz, lo chashad osam ki yitu b'malosam lachshiv elokei.
At this juncture, Moshe Rabbeinu has he's not suspicious, he's not fearful that maybe if he takes the initiative, they will call him an Ish Eloki, as if he is the controller of nature and he's a divine being. Vehera, and he had to prove, Ki miratzon Hashem asas kol eila, that whatever he brought about, it was from Ratzon Hashem. And I'm going to prove it to you, says Moshe, because I am going to initiate this miracle. And all your statements and all your sfeikos about my level and whether I am a lowly person who took it upon myself to divide up the various leadership roles in that way, that's all not true. And now we fast forward from the episode of Korach, where Moshe, for the first time in his career, takes the initiative to bring about the miracle, and we're now at the May Meriva.
Achshav. Shehera bidavar bidvar Korach sha'asa mi'atzmo oz kasha lo haya mayim la eda ma omru divrei nargon al kvodo chosh al masha'ein mayim la eda lo yachush.
Imagine what's going to happen over here. The people will sense that when it came to the episode of Korach, Moshe Rabbeinu took the initiative and he brought about a miracle. And now he's not bringing about any miracles. You know, we're complaining, we're dying of thirst, we're dehydrated, and where's Moshe Rabbeinu? And they're going to come up with the following thesis, that Moshe Rabbeinu only brings about miracles and steps in to intervene only when his honor is at stake. Al kvodo chash, that's what he's worried about. But al mashe ein mayim la'edo, we're going thirsty here, lo yachush, Moshe Rabbeinu is not concerned.
Is therefore, says Rav Meir Simcha, this is the Chiddush, beheder asiyaso me'atzmo,
this is what he thinks Rav Albo has in mind, that if Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't take that initiative,
lachush letovasam v'ligzar the Omer Lasela Tein Mei Mecha,
you should have taken the initiative, then Hoya Chil Hashem. What is the Chil Hashem? The Chil Hashem is that people say, well, when Moshe's honor was on the line, was at stake, and there was a rebellion against Moshe personally, that's when he took the initiative. But when we're suffering so much for the lack of water, and Moshe Rabbeinu plays a backseat role, and he's passive, he's doing nothing for us, that's a Chil Hashem. Then it means they're undermining the very the very stature and status of Moshe as the giver of the Torah, as the Shliach of Hashem, the Redeemer of Israel. And that's a terrible Chil Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu should have followed through in this episode of Meimarivah the same way he did in Korach, and taking the initiative to bring about the miracle, to prove to the people that he was indeed dedicated and devoted to them and not to himself. This is not all about myself, me, myself, and I, and my greatness and my protection against those who want to undermine me and reduce my status. This is about my love for the people of Israel. I'm here to serve you. I'm here to do the best I can to bring you out of the straits, out of the anguish. He should have again taken the initiative. And as a result of the fact that he played a passive role, the people came to this Chil Hashem, beginning to suspect Moshe Rabbeinu that he only comes forward, steps out of his shadows on behalf of himself. As they say, Al Kvod Atzmo Chosh, Val Masha Ein Mayim Le'eda Lo Chosh. And this is, according to Rabbi Simcha's interpretation, the thesis of Rav Albo, Asher Lo Yaviu, that therefore God commands that they will not bring, Moshe and Aaron will not bring the people. Kei Nirali Liyashiv, Divrei Rav Yosef Albo, the Etzem Adover Muskel. I think those three words, Etzem Adover Muskel, he's adding a postscript that even if this is not what Rav Albo had in mind, then I think it's meaningful in and of itself. And now he continues. He says it's possible to say, furthermore, with regard to Meimarivah, that from the time that the Torah was given, about which the great revelation at Har Sinai is described as Ro'u HaKolos, right? The post says, Kolam Ro'im Es HaKolos. What's Ro'im Es HaKolos? Shahayu Ro'im Es HaNishma. They were able to see that which they heard. Kimamoram, as it says in Medrash Rabbah in Shir Hashirim, Malach HaYomotzi HaDibur L'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu called Dibur Dibur Machazor HaKol Yisrael Echad V'Echad B'Yisrael V'Yomelo Mekabel Ato Alechas HaDibur HaZeh. So in other words, Dibur was not just something that they heard with their ears, it's something that they saw with their eyes. Ro'im Es HaKolos, the Pasuk says, and to see the Dibur Hashem, wow, that's a high level, to see the Dibur Hashem. And when you see the Dibur Hashem, that miracle makes a tremendous impact on the neshama, on the soul. And that's how every one of the Aseres HaDibros and probably all the mitzvahs that were included therein were accepted by them, because they didn't just hear the Dibur with their ears, they saw the Dibur. And the Dibur itself penetrated into their souls. Says Rabbi Simcha, that's God's plan at the Meimarivah. Hine rotza kodesh baruch hu shekein bedibur el asela yiru b'nei Yisrael sadibur eloki. That once again, as at the revelation at Sinai, the people of Israel would see the divine command. Asher yotzi migrono shel Moshe sheshchina shruya v'tocho. As Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to the Sela, they will perceive the Shechina as a vision of Dibur Mitoch Grono Shel Moshe. And not only that, they will be able to perceive how the Dibur of Hashem brings water out of the stone. V'upoel b'sela v'roem es hanishma. So it's not only that they hear the Dibur of Hashem, they see the Dibur of Hashem, they see its fulfillment in bringing water out of the stone. And v'yelahem chizuk emuna, that would strengthen their, at this weak stage in their faith, it would strengthen their faith in God. Me'ein ha'maimad ha'nichpad, similar to Har Sinai. Asher rotz Hashem, shiyeh kodem krisas bris b'yarvis moav. Now, historically, we're at the end of the 40-year period in the desert. We're about to enter into the Bris of Hashem B'Arvas Moav in Parshas Nitzavim. That's where we're holding. A great preparation to uplift the people and inspire them before that Bris would have been speaking to the Sela. What does that mean? Seeing the Dibur. Watching in front of your eyes how the Dibur Eloki takes water out of the Sela. And therefore, Aaron has to play a role with Moshe Rabbeinu, because when it comes to bringing about emunah, it's always two shushvinon, a pair of two people. And to see that the Selah is so impacted by that Dibur, you know, it's like the Dibur Eloki just penetrates into the Selah, and the Selah gives forth Mayim. But the Hema, Imru Esrucho, but tragically, the people of Israel did not get the message. And therefore, as a result, Hadibur Eloki, Lo Poel Bahem, Lios Nichnoim Lavodoso. The Dibur Eloki was not something that they perceived. Because of their rebellious mood, they weren't Zoche to reach the merit, the level of Har Sinai, where Varoes Hakolos. And instead, the Dibur just fell, so to speak, on deaf ears. And if that Dibur could not be perceived by the people as the Dibur Eloki, they were in that rebellious state, then it's not going to have an impact on the stone as well. And hence, the Dibur does not bring out the water from the stone. Here was a great opportunity for Chizuk Emunah, and it was lost. And because this was a preparation for the Bris, it was Yos, it would have been appropriate. Kibnei Yisrael Yochinu Esei Neam Lios Pkuchos Liros Es Dibur Eloki V'Kadshu Chush Haraos Liros Dover Dvar Kodsho. They could have prepared themselves that their eyes would see the Dibur that they hear with their ears, and they would sanctify their eyes to the highest level of sanctity. And therefore God says to Moshe, V'Dibartem El Asela Le'Eneim. Give them a lesson to prepare their eyes. Tell them, prepare them. My friends, my beloved community, my flock, you are now about to experience an unbelievable Chizuk Emunah. Prepare your eyes. Sanctify them, because you will be seeing a Dibur as it impacts on the Selah. But unfortunately, tragically, Moshe says, Shimunu Amorim. And Rabbi Simcha takes the approach, which is also that of the Rambam, that at this point Moshe got angry. He saw that the people were in a rebellious mood, and he says to them, Shimuno Amorin. Instead of believing in the people and taking this wonderful opportunity to tell them to prepare themselves, to uplift themselves, prepare their eyes for Kedusha, you're about to see Dibur and see it with your eyes. And instead, Bekas, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Shimuna Morim, Velo Tziva, and he lost the opportunity to command them, Al Hachonas Chush Haraos, to prepare their eyes. And therefore, the Dibur remained just that, a Dibur alone, Velo Paul, a Dibur Lokima Uma, and the stone was not impressed by the Dibur, it didn't respond to the Dibur. And Hoya Tzorech LaHakoso, Moshe had no choice but to give a smack on the stick. Vize Ovon, and this Lamailas Moshe, again relative to Moshe's level, was a sin. Lola Zuloso, not to send somebody else. In other words, this was a tremendous opportunity to reach the level of Ro Es Hakolos, just like at Har Sinai, that they could see the Dibur in front of their eyes. As it influences and impacts on the stone, that was an amazing opportunity for Chizuk Emunah, and Moshe Rabbeinu was there in a pivotal place, at a critical moment, with that power of influence, he could have told the people to prepare their eyes, they're about to see something that will sanctify them, and instead, Shimuna Morim, he responded emotionally to their murmurings and their rebellious mood, calling them Morim and rebels. Now, Rabbosai, I'm looking at the clock, and I did prepare two or three other pieces here in Ramei Simcha. So let's see what we could fit in. And again, you'll learn on your own the rest of that piece. Let's fast forward to Pasuk Chof Tes. In the same Perek Chof. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to die at the end of Parshas Vizos HaBrocha, at the end of the Torah. Aaron dies here in Parshas Chukas. Vayivku es Aaron kol Beis Yisrael. Now, Rebbeir Simcha, in a very sharp move, which only a halachist could think in these terms, asks the following question. He doesn't actually ask it. I'm just trying to fill in the missing blanks. Why was everybody so upset? There should have been at least a couple of people that were very happy about this, about the death of Aaron. Why? So for this we have to learn a little Masechta Makkos, and the Gemara says in Makkos that if a person committed murder b'shogeg unintentionally, he has to run to the Ohr Miklat, or if not to the Ohr Miklat, one of the Ohrei Aleviyah. And for the 40 years that the Jews were in the Midbar, they would run to the Machne Leviyah. How long would a Rotzeach remain cooped up, locked up in the Machne Leviyah or in the Ohr Miklat until the death of the Kohen Gadol? Now imagine, Aaron HaKohen dies, he's the Kohen Gadol. Says Rebbeir Simcha, there should have been a club of guys who are jumping for joy because now they can go back to their families. Pirush HaKosim Misaper Lanu Bazeh Shelohoya Kol Arboim Shana Rotzeach Nefesh Shogeg Shaya Niglo Lamach Leviyah. The Torah is telling us, by implication, that for 40 years in the Midbar, no Jew killed another Jew, even inadvertently. And therefore, even though you would have anticipated that certainly during a 40-year period, I mean, I would have said a month period, but certainly 40 years, that somebody, if not more than somebody, would be in the Machne Leviyah, separated from his house and his family, V'alo chazru b'misas Aaron, and anyone who was, you know, incarcerated in the Ohr Miklat, the Machne Leviyah, would now have freedom when Aaron dies. Hoyalem l'smach. How could it be that the Torah testifies, Vayivku es Aaron kol Beis Yisrael? No exception. Everyone was in mourning and grief. There should have been a couple of happy people who now, after years and years of being cooped up in the Ohr Miklat of then, and now they're reunited with their families. I have my family coming for Shabbos, Mirtz Hashem. We haven't seen them since before Purim. And that's a great simcha. But the answer is, Kol Beis Yisrael, there wasn't one Rotzeach B'Shogeg during that 40-year period. An amazing chiddush of Rebbeir Simcha. Now he asks a different question. Umay dechsiv Beis Yisrael v'lo Bnei Yisrael? What's the difference between Bnei Yisrael, which is a phrase that repeats itself like a refrain throughout the Torah, and here, instead of Bnei Yisrael, it says Beis Yisrael. Ho'inyan. Shahoye zeh b'shnas harboim, when the 40th year of the Midbar, Rosh Chodesh Av. Okay, this we'll see based on a Chazal a little bit later on. Vayusfurim ha'am shiyamusu adayin b'tishabav b'midbar. Okay, this is based on a Gemara that tells us, I believe it's in Tainus, check me out on that, I'm sorry, that every year the people would place themselves into a kever, into a gravesite, starting with Rosh Chodesh Av, and by Tisha B'Av, a very large number of them would not get up from their graves. That was all the fulfillment of the decree after the Chet HaMeraglim. Now in the 40th year, so you can imagine the anticipation and the tension here, when the Jews that were left after all the destruction over the course of 38 years. Now, these are the last Sheris HaPleita, and they're digging their own graves, and they thought they would certainly die by Tisha B'Av. Now, imagine what you thought about what we call Trias HaMeisim. If you were part of this decree because of the severe sin of Meraglim, of not having the faith in God and so forth and so on, you probably were wondering, would you be Ola L'Tchia? Would you be part of the resurrection? Ulin Nochem, and now they had a consolation, so to speak. They were comforted by Misas Aaron, because not only did they perish in the wilderness, but Aaron now died in the wilderness. V'gam Aaron yanuach etzel mishkevosom. Aaron would also be buried in close proximity to their burial site. V'lo yitamu b'midbar hazeh li'olam ha'tchiyah. If, when it's time for Trias HaMeisim, Aaron is going to be resurrected, then we will be resurrected with him. Now, this opens up a whole long discussion about Moshe Rabbeinu and where he was buried. And Moshe Rabbeinu was buried by Barvos Moav, and it seems that when you're buried near someone, and that person is a great person, you yourself will be part of the Trias HaMeisim when it's time for that great person. That's why you've heard, of course, of many, many different stories of people who wanted to be buried near Gedolim. And if you go on a heritage tour to Europe, to those cemeteries that still exist, that weren't destroyed by our enemies, you will see very often someone who we don't even know who he is, and he's buried next to one of the greats of the generation. And here, Rav Meir Simcha says that the phrase Beit Yisrael, as opposed to Bnei Yisrael, was chosen deliberately to indicate this great sense of Beit Yisrael. They were all in the same boat. Mashal Amelech, he gives a simile. Shezarek Tzroros, Ma'osa Hishlich Miyodim Argolios, Vigbia Kulam. That once you throw a certain precious stone in a certain area, then people will go there and they'll look for everything that they can find, once they're really looking for that precious jewel. So why does it say Beis Yisrael? Oh. Says Rav Meir Simcha, Beis Yisrael here is an allusion to those who were not part of the Gezerah. And that was the Noshim V'taf. When, after the Chet Meraglim, God decreed that the entire generation would die here in the Midbar, no one would survive, he was referring to the men and not to the women and children. The phrase Beit Yisrael includes the women and the children. For example, we find Kotomar Lebeit Yaakov, and that's a reference to the women. That's why we call it Beis Yaakov, Beis Yaakov. And Beis means the women. Bias is always a reference and allusion to the women folk. Alam lo hoisai gzera, and the pasuk went out of its way in Vayivku to emphasize Beit Yisrael, those who are not part of the gzera. Hema bachu kulam al mos kedosh Hashem. Why? Because for those who would die here in the Midbar, you know what? Aaron's death, in a certain sense, is a consolation. They knew that they would die, and Aaron would be near them, buried near them. So they would be Yole L'Tchia. But for those who would enter into Eretz Yisrael, Aaron's death in the Midbar was a great tragedy. Libli Lahavi Osam Ba'aretz, that he would not live to bring them into the land. And here in this context, if we go back to Pasuk Chaf Beis, right, we're reading Pasuk Chaf Tes, and it says over there, Vayavo Bnei Yisrael Kola Eda Har Hashem, Har Ahar. And Rashi comments in the name of the Medrash, Kulam Shlemim Omdim Likonis Laaretz. In other words, this parsha is describing a moment in which Kol Beit Yisrael that had to die in the original Gzeira, they had all died out. So when it says Kol Ha'eda here at the beginning of this parsha, it means the entire community that will enter the land. B'shum shekvar kolu meise midbar. Even though, again, it was only Rosh Chodesh Av, and there was a possibility that another 15,000 Jews would perish between Rosh Chodesh Av and Tisha B'Av, but in fact they didn't perish. Hainu l'fia emes, despite the fact that they were afraid that maybe they would die in the next 9 days, but Hashem knows that in fact Kolu Meisei Midbar and these 15,000 Jews would not perish. They would stand from their graves. And therefore, says Rav Meir Simcha, Beit Yisrael indicates that this Eda, the entirety of this Eda, Bachu, they cried and they mourned over the loss of Aaron, because now they realized that Aaron would not enter into the land of Israel. This was the entire people of Israel that would enter into the land. And finally, we don't have too much time, I'll just give you a little bit of an insight into Rav Meir Simcha. In Perek Chaf Aleph, we're fast forwarding to the next chapter in Parshas Chukas, Perek Chaf Aleph Pasuk Zayin, Ki Dibarnu Bashem. So let's open up for a second Perek Chaf Aleph. If you have the Chumash, and it says, so I'm thinking here, I'm on the wrong page, let me just, oops, if I can, oh, it says here that Vayisu pasuk dalit vayisu mehar ahar derech yamsu ba 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 vatikzar nefesh ha'am ba'dorech. It seems like the derech was too hard for them, too harsh. Vaydaber ha'am belokim, they spoke against God. Why did you take us into this midbar? There's no food, there's no bread, there's no water. Nafshenu kotzav alechav ha'kolkel. And this is the famous parsha of the Nachash HaNechoshes, the serpent, and it says here, Vayomas Am Rav Yisrael, many people were killed, died at the Nachash. Vayavo Ha'am El Moshe Vayomer, Vayomer Chatanu, Ki Dibarnu Bashem Uvach, Hispalel El Hashem, Viasir Me'alinu Es HaNachash, Vayispalel Moshe, Biad Ha'am. But Meir Simcha has a brand new insight into Moshe's tefillos. And he says the following. The attack of the people here, their rebellion, is it directed against Moshe or against God himself? He quotes the Gemara in Ksubis, and the Gemara says, Nasi shemochal al kvodo ein kvodo mochu. The leader of the people, if he was insulted, he cannot be mochel, he can't waive it. But Talmud Chacham Shemachal Kvodo, Kvodo Mochel. Why? Says Rabbi Simcha, beautiful insight. Mishum de Mailas HaChacham, Hu Kinyan Atzmi, Dovuk LeNefesh. When a Chacham is uplifted by the Torah that he studies, he has an acquisition over that Torah. It enters and penetrates into his very being, into his very soul. And ubazelo nigra maloso. And he says that if someone insults the Chacham, and the Chacham wants to forgive him, he says, that's not going to in any way detract from his Mila, because his Mila is his. It's inherent, it's essential to his very being. Hakol yavinu maloso v'chisrono. Everyone will understand that they are lacking, but not him. Avol nasi. What generates the milah, the great level of the nasi? Eino ela nikne me'askomas haminasim also. His level is achieved by those who uplift him, and they recognize him and appoint him as their leader. Is imhu yimchol, if he'll be mochel on his kavod, halo yuchshav ma'loso ki echad niklim, they're going to begin to take him for granted. And they're going to say, well, we insulted him, and that's fine. He was mochel. So that we can't let that happen, because we have to generate a certain adoration and veneration and respect for the people, to the Nasi. In the case of the Talmud Chacham, he's got that covered inside. It was Kona in his nefesh. Lachein v'machlokes Korach, lo hoya biad Moshe limchol al kvodo. Why is it that in the case of Korach, Moshe Rabbeinu did not have it within himself to be mochel? They insulted Moshe, they tried to undermine him, he could have been mochel. The answer is because their chet was against Moshe Rabbeinu. As what? As the leader of Klal Yisrael. They'll prove it to you, says Rav Meir Simcha. They said, umadua titnasu. Why do you set yourself up as the leader lording over us? Ah, in that context, they were trying to undermine his status as the Nos. The Omru ki malosom eina rak haskami, that the level of Moshe and Aaron is just because we have agreed, there's nothing inherent in what you have. The imkein ein biyado limchol, if they're trying to undermine his nesius, there's no room for mechila. The lachen lo ispala lehem, he wasn't mochel, and he didn't pray on their behalf. Aval kan adarab, hachet hoya. I mean, here we have to take a look at Rashi. Rashi says on Pasuk Hey, Belokim uveMoshe Hishvu Eved Lakono, Velom Elisanu Shneim Shavim. They equated Moshe and God, and the Chet therefore is Sheshatvu Moshe Labore, that they elevated Moshe to this high level as if he was the creator. And now mechila is absolutely appropriate. Shapi yachalimcha, because now he's telling them